Hello everyone and welcome to the podcast. This is Father Narek from St. Sarkis Church in Douglaston, New York with a new episode of the podcast. I greet all my listeners in New York and around the world because I was looking at the podcast stats yesterday and as of now we have 2,080 plays from 18 different countries. We have listeners from 23 different states here in the US, and we have listeners in Canada, Europe, the Middle East, Armenia, Australia, and even the Republic of Tanzania. I guess it has something to do with my accent. Today is episode number 10, and so far I have received lots of positive feedback, notes of encouragement, and suggestions on how to improve the overall quality of the production. Your support is critical in the success of this ministry. So if you like the podcast, tell your family members and friends about it. You can also make it your commute companion on Thursday mornings. That's what I do every Thursday morning. And tell me what you think. I have a few loyal listeners who give me feedback on a weekly basis. You can also be one of them. Drop me a line, send me an email, a Facebook comment, or even a text message and let me know what you think about the podcast. What are some of the things that you enjoyed in the past 10 episodes? What are some of the things that you expect in the upcoming ones? Let's keep the conversation going. I hope everyone is having a good week, and I hope that you have good plans for the weekend. Let's start our program and our day with a prayer from the prayers of the Armenian Church. We thank you, Lord our God, for you awaken us from our nightly rest. Awaken also our minds with integrity towards you, so that our eyes will see your salvation. May your divinity come and dwell in us. And may your mercy overshadow and protect us who worship you. Make us worthy, O Lord, during day and night, to think in the love of your commandments, and gratefully to glorify the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and always and forever and ever. Amen. Last week, I spoke briefly about church etiquette, but now I realize that we really cannot talk about church etiquette if we do not know what church is all about. Recently, I was with a group of people, a group that attends church regularly, and someone asked a question, "Do we have to take communion every Sunday?" I chose to answer the question with another question, and I asked, what is Badarak? And let me just ask the same question to my listeners now. What is Badarak? What is divine liturgy that we celebrate every week in the church? Some of the answers that I got from the group were the followings. Badarak is a prayer. It is worship. Badarak is the place where we convene as a community. We read and we reflect on the word of God during Badarak, etc., etc. All of the answers that the group members gave were somehow true about Badarak, but I did not get the full answer that I was expecting. I hope I got you to start thinking now. What is Badarak? In 2008, the Armenian Prelacy published a new translation of the Divine Liturgy of the Armenian Church. It is a beautiful publication because it has four columns, two columns on each page. On the odd page, in the first column, you read the text of the liturgy in classical Armenian, the way that is celebrated in all Armenian churches around the globe since forever. The second column gives you the translation of the text in modern Armenian. I know, by now you might be saying that you do not read Armenian, so this book cannot help you. Wait, just wait and take a look at the even page. The first column on the even page gives you the transliteration. In other words, you will read the Armenian text with English or Roman letters. And in the last column, you can read the translation of all the prayers and hymns in English. These books are on the pews of St. Sarkis Church and all the prelacy churches for you to pick up and participate in the worship. This book also has a thorough introduction to the Sur Badarak, or Introduction to the Divine Liturgy, prepared by Deacon Shant Kazanjan, the director of the religious education programs of the Armenian Prelacy. I will be using Deacon Shant's introduction to highlight a few points about Badarak. The origins of Badarak goes back to the Last Supper that Jesus ate with his disciples the night he was betrayed. The earliest accounts is found in the letter of the Apostle St. Paul to the Corinthians, written in the middle of the first century to the community that he had founded a few years earlier. St. Paul says, "The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" St. Paul calls this service the Lord's Supper. The only other name given to this ritual in the Bible is the breaking of the bread, which comes from one of the actions of Jesus at the Last Supper. He took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. Later, Christians would refer to this service as the Eucharist, Greek Thanksgiving. Again, the name is taken from one of the actions at the Last Supper when he had given thanks. Other names for the service include the Divine Liturgy, Mass, and Holy Communion. The Armenian Apostolic Church called this service Sur Badarak, meaning Holy Sacrifice, underscoring the essential biblical meaning of the Lord's Supper. From the earliest days, the Christian assembly included the liturgy of bread and wine, and also the liturgy of the word, that is, reading the teaching from the sacred scriptures. We will speak more about the parts of Badarak in the upcoming episodes, but today I would like to focus on the Last Supper. What is the significance about the Last Supper? This was a climactic meal in a series of many meals that Jesus had with his disciples, as well as with sinners and outcasts of the society. So much so that the religious leaders criticized his practice of table fellowship, saying This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. Shared meals in the Bible were viewed as a sign of peace, oneness, unity, friendship, acceptance, and forgiveness. In addition, meals included prayers of blessing and thanksgiving. Jesus' table fellowship with sinners and outcasts was a powerful symbolic act. Through it, Jesus was enacting the essential gospel message. That is, he was extending God's grace and mercy, love and compassion, forgiveness and salvation to all humanity. Jesus blasted open the walls of separation and exclusivity that characterized the mentality of the religious leaders of that time. The Bible used an everyday human experience, table fellowship, with all its symbolism, to communicate and enflesh God's love and grace. This is essentially a sacramental act. At the Last Supper, the meal connected the Passover. Jesus explained his table fellowship practice and gave a new meaning to the meal. The Passover meal celebrated the Exodus events, commemorating God's deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt, the sacrificial lamb, God nourishing his people in the wilderness with manna from heaven, as well as the covenant and the giving of the law. Jesus, as the head of the family, offered the blessing and thanksgiving, as he always did, but added a new interpretation. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus identified the bread with his body and the wine with his blood, which was going to be shed. Jesus was pointing to himself, to his passion and death, as the new sacrifice instead of the Passover lamb. Through it, Jesus was inaugurating a new covenant. In the Gospel according to St. John, Jesus uses another image from the Passover celebration and relates it to the meaning of his death, namely manna, or bread from heaven, and he invites his followers to partake of it in order to have life. He says, "I am the bread of life, the living bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever." Therefore, my brothers and sisters, Badarak is the reenactment of the Last Supper. You are invited to the Last Supper, to the Divine Supper, and it's only fit for you to partake from the Divine Supper. Today we have something different for you. Our youth program director, Mrs. Seta Megarian, wanted to ask me a few questions on the occasion of the 10th anniversary of my ordination to the priesthood. So we switched chairs and she interviewed me. Take a listen.
Hello, this is Seta Megarian. Today's podcast will have a slight twist as Dernareg sits in the interview chair. Hello, Dernareg.
Hi, Seta.
Just recently, on Friday, October 17th, the St. Sarkis Church Board of Trustees and its auxiliaries hosted a lovely ordination banquet in your honor for the 10th anniversary of your priesthood. Nearly 300 loving members surprised you with a wonderful applause as you entered the hall. It was a great surprise, and we congratulate you.
Thank you very much. Indeed, it was a great surprise. I thought that I was coming to the church for a wedding anniversary, but I thought when I arrived I was at the wrong party, but it turned out to be the surprise party that the Board of Trustees and the auxiliary bodies of our church had planned for me.
You are well appreciative of that honor.
Thank you.
Dan Nadek, although we're celebrating your 10th anniversary, can you take us back to the beginning, the roots of your decision to become a priest?
I think it started when I was a little boy serving the altar of my hometown church, Surp Aspazadin Church of Kesab. I was part of the Sunday school. I was part of Home Men. But the most joyous moments for me were when I was in church, when I was on the altar, serving God. The other instrumental factor was the religious education that I received in my school, where our priest was our teacher, and he was a great example. So I learned a lot from our pastor. It was in 1993 that I started to contemplate about going to the seminary. There was another fellow who was a seminarian from my hometown of Kesab. He was visiting, and he told me all about the seminary, and I was interested. And I discussed that idea with my parents, and then I went to the seminary, and I became a seminarian. You know, when you're 13, you don't know what is a calling. You're too young. You just go to the seminary, and you learn. And our seminary provided that environment where you not only learn about the church, and later, not only you learn about the theology, but the seminary forms the man in you, you know. And I was fortunate that I was part of the seminary. So I graduated in 2000 after spending 18 months working for the Catholicosate in Antelias. I was part of the communication department. I was also continuing my education there. I moved to the United States. I came here to serve the prelacy, and I became part of St. Sarkis Church, serving as a deacon and also teaching the Saturday school here. And, you know, I was away from the seminary. I was having some thoughts about pursuing something else. And whenever that would happen, I would feel like I was betraying myself. I was kind of forsaking all the things that I have learned and I was part of. I was dating Ani at that time, and it was out of the blue that one day Ani was like, you need to become a priest. You know, God works in mysterious ways. And for me, that was, you know, like God was helping me to finalize my decision when I had the girl that I loved telling me to take this bold step. You know, it took me a lot of prayer, contemplation, speaking with Anushavan Sarpazan, who was my mentor, and I thought I was ready for that big decision. And the ordination took place October 17, 10 years ago.
That's a truly wonderful story. I'm so glad you shared it with us. Dan Nadek, we were so fortunate to have your parents present at this event.
Yes, it was an honor for me to have my parents, because I've been to so many events and celebrations, and it was the first time where my parents also were in the same room. And, you know, when I was talking about my decision to go to the seminary and be a seminarian, I was, of course, the first discussions I had, it was with my parents. And my mom was okay with the idea, but my dad was not thrilled initially. But then when he finally agreed, he said, okay, you can go. But here's the condition. You have to stay there for the whole year. If you go there and you don't like it the first week or two, you cannot come back. I don't know, maybe he was thinking I would change my mind at that point. And I said, okay, I can do that. So when I went to the seminary, the first 2 weeks, the first month, were really difficult. You know, I had to learn a lot. I had to learn how to be away from home at that age. And it was a lot for me. And I was ready to quit and go back home. And I remembered the promise that I made to my dad. And I think that was a very practical way of learning what integrity is like. And I had to stick to the promise that I made. So, and I'm glad that my dad made me, you know, give that promise to him. And I'm glad that I honored that promise.
I absolutely agree. I think it was wonderful that he put that in front of you. As a teacher myself and having worked closely with youth, I personally like to use stories to teach valuable life lessons. What would you say is the life lesson of this story that might help our parish?
Life is full of challenges. And the easiest thing to do is to quit. But when you make a decision, you have to stick to it. You have to give it a try and try and try. And then if eventually you see it's not working, then you quit. But you don't quit, you know, from the first problem that you encounter in your life. So I think that that's a great lesson that I had to learn.
It's a wonderful lesson, and I sincerely appreciate you sharing it with us. Since being appointed to our St. Sarkis family, you have introduced many, many new and exciting programs to our church, reaching the needs of our entire community. Can you please tell us a little bit about these programs and how the needs of some of them arose?
Well, back in the day when Hayr Anushavan and before that at Asorik were the pastors, they had to focus on securing the financial needs of our church because we were struggling. When I came, we were pretty much in a better situation financially. So I thought, we have a beautiful church. We are secure financially. What we need is to have programs that will help people feel that they belong to this church, feel that this is a place where the whole family can be part of. So I was 26 years old when I was assigned a pastor, and I did not see a whole lot of people of my age being part of this church. So that was my first initiative, and as a result, we started the Bible study group with the help of Daniel Gulbenkian, who was very instrumental at that time with starting the Bible study. And then after the Bible study, we started the summer camp. Seta, you and I worked so hard to start the summer camp, and I'm looking forward to celebrate the 10th anniversary of our summer camp this year.
Absolutely.
The other things that we did, since I like graphic design and publication, you know, we improved the publications of our church, the Shoragat. We started publishing the calendars, which became a fundraiser of our church. We also wanted to focus more on the youth, so we wanted to start the youth club, which we did last year, and it turned out to be yet another successful program. I'm trying to highlight the major ones. And lastly, this podcast, which I don't know, it was an idea, but with the help of the Board of Trustees, we were able to purchase all the equipment necessary, and here we're doing this.
And you're doing a great job.
Every week, and I hope that it's been received well and people like it. It's a way of reaching out and communicating because we want to make sure that the church is not something that belongs to the past. The church is something that is very much alive, and we, all of us, are part of the church.
Dernareg, you are a true visionary, and implementing all of these wonderful programs has been an extremely tremendous addition to our church. You seem to take a leap of faith for many of these programs. What gives you the strength to do so, and what encouragement can you give to our parishioners who also might need to take a leap of faith in their own life?
Well, I think a good place for anyone to start is to make an assessment of what is needed. So that's what I try to do, to try to assess what can we do so that people will participate more, people will feel that this is home for them. And number two, I am not afraid of failures. I don't think that every initiative will be a successful program. You try it a year, see if it's working, then try to improve the mistakes or not repeat the mistakes that you made and move on to try to create something better. So that has been my strategy. I'm not afraid of failures. I am open for criticism, and I'm open to improve things that we do here at St. Sarkis Church.
At the ordination banquet, His Eminence Archbishop Oshagan Sirpazan and the Vicar General spoke so eloquently of your success here at our church, and they both spoke of your humility. I too agree and applaud you on this. You sincerely are such a humble person, having done so much for our community.
Thank you. I would like to thank our prelate, Archbishop Oshagan, and also our Vicar General, Bishop Anushavan, for their kind words. I was honored. My greatest example is Jesus. If Jesus was humble to become a human being, to be naked, suffering on the cross, then who am I not to be humble? The one thing that I know is that we all have the same size soul. At the end of the day, we are all human, full of mistakes, yet we are trying to do better every day. So if that is the premise, then there's no need to be arrogant. There's no need to brag of anything that we have done successfully. So that's who I am.
And a wonderful person you are. You also have a wonderful family, one that is an example of love and faith and exemplifies beauty. We are so fortunate to have your whole family as part of our parish. Yeretskin, Ani, Hovsep, Lori.
Thank you. I think my family is my priority because my family is the source of my strength, the source of love, and I'm grateful to God that, you know, it was God's plan for me. At least that's the way I look at my family, that I met Ani and we got married and God blessed us with our beautiful children. Now, in the past couple of months, as I said on the banquet, the family life has been put on hold because basically of my involvement here in the church and also my internship at the hospital. But I hope that that will be over soon. But in that time, my wife is being there for my kids and for my family, and God bless her. God bless all the families of our parish, all the families of our listeners, because if we have healthy families, we can have healthy parishes and healthy societies.
You mentioned that you were studying for your internship. Would you like to tell us some more about that? What is your degree for?
Yes, I'm studying mental health counseling. When I became a priest of St. Sarkis Church, I realized that the education that I had was not good enough to make me the pastor that this church needed, and I asked Oshagan Serpazan if he would agree for me to continue my education, which he graciously agreed and funded through our prelacy funds. And I started attending St. John's University in 2006, and I studied pastoral theology. I graduated in 2010, and I went to Serpazan and I told him that I graduated. And he said, now you need to think about your PhD. And I felt that doing a PhD might not be the right thing for me. And I asked him if I could do something else. And I was not sure how he would accept it, because as a priest, you're supposed to study theology. I suggested that I would want to study mental health counseling, because that will help me to have a better understanding and try to help people with their needs. And I was surprised that Serpazan not only agreed, but he welcomed the idea, and he said, this is such a good thing, but make sure that you need also to be a licensed mental health counselor. And I had his blessing, so I applied to the program again at St. John's University, and I've been studying since 2011. I'm finished with my studies. I'm doing my internship at Queen's Hospital Center, and I will be graduating this December. Looking forward to that big day.
That is wonderful. We are so proud of you.
Thank you.
Der Nareg, you are a true inspiration to all of us. You are greatly loved by our entire community. We congratulate you on this 10th anniversary ordination, and I am so privileged to have had this opportunity to have this one-on-one with you.
Thank you very much, Seta.
Thank you.
Looking forward to work together for the betterment of St. Sarkis Church.
Very much so.
Thank you. Let us meditate on the Word of God. It's something that we do here every week on the podcast. According to the lectionary of the Armenian Church, one of our daily readings is from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 7 to 9. Remember your leaders, those who spoke the Word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life.
and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings, for it is well for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by regulations about food, which have not benefited those who observe them. The Word of the Lord. The Epistle to the Hebrews is traditionally attributed to Paul, yet the author of this letter is nowhere named. Hebrews appear to be a written sermon dedicated to a Jewish Christian community who were considering whether or not it was worth holding on to Christ any longer because they have suffered great persecutions. Our reading today is from the concluding exhortations of the letter. The author encourages the community to remember their leaders, to consider the outcome of their way of life, and to imitate their faith. When I read these words, I am inclined naturally to think about the practice of the Armenian Church in venerating saints and church fathers. Veneration is a way of remembrance. We need to remember how the faith was transmitted to us. And when we study the life and the examples of the saints and church fathers, we start to explore and consider the outcome of their way of life. It is crucial for us to understand how ordinary people understood the message of Jesus Christ and how made that message a living reality in their lives. We need role models in our lives. Just like an involved father brings positive benefits to their children that no other person is likely to bring, in the same way, saints and church fathers bring positive changes in our spiritual lives and guide us closer to God, so long as we try to live like them and imitate their faith. One of the questions that I always like to ask is, who is your favorite saint and why? Today, let me ask this question to you. Who is your favorite saint? Why? Saints are not paintings that we hang on church walls, but they are life coaches. Let's make an effort to familiarize ourselves with the life examples of saints and try to live a saintly life for the glory of God. Amen. Today's hymn is called Ov Yeraneli. This is a hymn that is sung in the Armenian church as part of the sacrament of the holy matrimony. You will hear this song when you attend a wedding sacrament in the Armenian church. The selection today is performed by Anna Mailian, who is a famous Armenian singer. I hope you will enjoy this hymn today. I will be back next Thursday with another episode of the podcast. In the meantime, I pray that you will have the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ in your hearts and the life of your families. Amen.